20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Thursday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Appreciate you guys checking us out today. If it's your first time here, welcome, and hope you enjoy the show, of course. Today, we're going to be going over part three of our sort of roster series, if you will. Part one was kind of doing a 53-man roster prediction. That did that right after mini camp. You can go back and check that out if you want. Part two was right before I went on vacation and looking at what this Packers depth chart actually looks like, what it kind of like, what the order is, which players are in which spots, how it worked at mini camp and OTAs, how I think it might work moving forward, and where some of the weaknesses and the strengths are of the depth of this team. And today, part three is looking at this entire 90-man roster currently and reviewing which of these 90 players actually have a legitimate chance to make the 53, or if you want to view it a different way, sort of the avenues for each of these players to make the 53-man roster. So that's what we're going to be doing today as we kind of look at this Green Bay roster in its totality. We've looked at it in other ways as well. We looked at how they were built. We looked at which players are locks to make the roster. But today is sort of those avenues to get to the 53. We're going to go through position by position. We'll start with quarterback. This one's an interesting one. Jordan Love, obvious, is going to make the team. Malik Willis, obvious, is going to make the team. Really, the only way he wouldn't is if there was some sort of trade that Green Bay couldn't refuse. I do not see that happening in any way, shape, or form. So then you get to the conversation between Sean Clifford and Taylor Algirsma. We talked a little bit about this with Justice Mosqueda on yesterday's show. Clifford's the interesting conversation here. If you told me that a third quarterback made the 53, I think I would just say Algirsma found a way on the roster. I think it's actually harder to get to an avenue of finding a way for Clifford to make it as a third quarterback. Bar an injury. I think if there's an injury to either Willis or Love, you could probably pretty quickly get to a determination of, like, especially if it happened at like the end of preseason or right before the start of the season, where hopefully in this case, Love is still good to go. Willis is a little bit banged up and Algirsma's not ready. So therefore, you know, Willis maybe is only going to be out for 2 weeks. You're not going to put him on an injured list or injured reserve. You keep Clifford on the 53 to back up for those 2 weeks, put Algirsma maybe on the practice squad, and that's probably Clifford's way of making the 53. Outside of that, it's really tough. The first way would just be for him to play amazing, which, by the way, I'm going to kind of leave out the rest of the way. If any of these 90 players just goes out and looks incredible, well, yes, that's a pathway to making the 53, right? But outside of something like that, he's clearly going to have to play well. But they've already released him once. And once you're a draft pick and you're already released, he didn't get claimed by anyone. He was on the practice squad. Nobody picked him up. Green Bay's going to feel pretty good that they can release him again, get him back on the practice squad if they want. Or even if they lose him, they're probably not going to lose sleep over it. So I think Clifford's actually the toughest one outside of an injury or him just, again, balling out at an insane level to get to that level of making the 53-man roster. Algirsma, on the other hand, is new. He's fresh. He's a little bit more exciting. If he were to go out and just, you know, again, play crazy in the preseason or just show that level of upside to the point where Green Bay felt like, hey, I don't know if we want to waive this guy because if he gets claimed, we're actually going to be kind of bummed about it. They would get a little bit trigger shy about putting him on waivers. That would be his way to make the 53. I think there's a chance, by the way, even if they do really like him, that he doesn't see much time in preseason. And you might think that's the reverse of what you would expect, right? If he's looking really good and you're excited about him, well, clearly let's get him out there. Let's get him more playing time. Let's play him ahead of Clifford. I think if they start sensing something that they might have something there in Algirsma, they may not want to showcase it to anybody else. And you're clearly not, you know, thinking that you're going to need him this upcoming year. So getting him those extra reps or things like that are probably not at the front of your mind. So if they think they might have something, they may want to hide him a little bit more, not play him as much as in preseason, and hope that they can just waive him and get him back in the practice squad, not have to worry about it. But that to me is the more interesting one. I don't think Clifford has an easy path to the 53. I think Elgersma actually would have a more likely path if you said that there was a third quarterback. But in all likelihood, this is going to just be Jordan Love and Malik Willis. At running back, Josh Jacobs is on the 53. Marshawn Lloyd's on the 53. We know Wilson and Brooks have the ability to make it. And we've talked about in the past, their opportunity is just being the next guy up, right? If either of them beat out the other one, they're pretty much becoming a lock as the number three back. So their easiest path is just Wilson beating out Brooks or Brooks beating out Wilson and clearly being the number three guy, or even potentially the number two guy. They could still beat out Lloyd, but the third running back that could actually make the 53. If they keep four, then both of them probably just make it. It gets tougher for Amar Johnson or Jalen White. Both of them are probably going to need either, again, an outstanding training camp, preseason, et cetera, or some injury luck to go their way. If that were to happen, I think they probably need two, right? They probably need two injuries to Jacobs, Lloyd, Wilson, and Brooks. And they probably need to beat out the other one as well. So Amar Johnson needs to beat out Jalen White. Jalen White needs to beat out Amar Johnson. And they probably need two injuries. I think anything outside of that, it gets really difficult. Again, if one of them looks incredible and Green Bay keeps four running backs, well then, yeah, sure. If one of them beats out Brooks or Wilson, it could potentially happen. I just think that's very unlikely. Again, like I said earlier, if any of them play incredible, then you have a shot, right? Wide receiver, Dobbs, Reed, Wicks, Golden, clearly all have the opportunity to make it. Savion Williams is going to make it. Those five are locks, right? Barring a trade. Mecole Hardman, Malik Heath, Bo Melton. The easiest way for any of them is to beat out the other two. I think they'll keep six no matter what. I've tossed out the idea of keeping only five wide receivers because with Hardman, Heath, and Melton, I think you'll get one or two of those guys back on the practice squad, and that probably is good enough and suffices. But I think the more likely scenario is that they keep six. I've also floated the idea of potentially keeping seven. But if there is six wide receivers that make it to begin with, I think it probably comes down to Hardman, Heath, and Melton. For Hardman to make it, his best avenue is being the primary punt returner. He goes out and has a Desmond Howard-esque moment in preseason, looks like a dynamic punt returner. He'll have a real chance to make it just on that alone. Malik Heath, I think, needs to show some progress as a true wide receiver, but he can also make it by, I think, being one of the best blocking wide receivers. You're already missing Watson, who's one of the best ones. Wicks is good, but then you kind of have this drop-off at somebody who can go out and pick a, can down block on a linebacker and some of those things. He shows that he can be one of the best blocking receivers. That's a good opportunity for him to make the 53. And Bo Melton, if he can be that primary guy on all four special teams, punt coverage, punt return, kick coverage, kick return, he's going to have a chance. But if he shows that he can actually play some corner as well and like kind of looks the part, it just gives him so much versatility. And it's really difficult to cut somebody who could potentially legitimately be a fifth wide receiver, a ace on special teams on all four units, and be a, true number five or six corner. If he shows he can be that, that is an extremely valuable piece. So those are avenues for each of those three to make the roster. The final three, much tougher. Julian Hicks, Cornelius Johnson, and Sam Brown Jr. I think Sam Brown Jr.'s only chance is a practice squad spot. I don't think he has any real chance at the 53. Hicks and Cornelius Johnson have at least shown some upside on different occasions. I thought Hicks looked good in camp and preseason this past year. And I think, he was a little bit banged up in OTAs and minicamps. I think he'll have the opportunity to show himself again in training camp. And Cornelius Johnson had a really good minicamp. So those are at least more interesting players. I still think practice squad is the ceiling here. It's just really tough for either of those guys, including Sam Brown Jr., if you want to put a third in there, to beat out any, like, you've got Dobbs, Reed, Wicks, Golden, Hardman, Heath, Melton. You've got seven. Savion Williams, you've got eight. And if they keep six, you're looking at not only needing at least three injuries, even then, they probably just keep five. So you might need like four injuries here. And then even at that point in time, you have to beat out the other two if you're Julian Hicks, Cornelius Johnson, and Sam Brown Jr. So very, very difficult for any of those three to make a run at the 53-man roster. Tight end, Kraft will make it. Musgrave will make it. I don't think Johnny Lumpkin has an avenue. He is a bigger guy. He's a blocking tight end. All right, let me put it this way. Johnny Lumpkins Avenue is just being a really, really good blocking tight end. If he just shows that he can be, I'm not talking like Mercedes Lewis here, but like a small step below where Mercedes Lewis was. If he can show that, he'll at least have a chance. And it's not like Ben Sims or John Fitzpatrick or Messiah Swinson are in any unbelievable position to just be like, there's no way you could possibly beat those guys out. That would be his way. He's a bigger tight end. And if he shows some really great blocking ability, that would be his at least puncher's chance at the team. The other three, Fitzpatrick, Sims, and Swinson, blocking is going to be a huge part of it, but special teams is going to be a real avenue as well. I think those three are fighting for one spot. Again, John Fitzpatrick, Ben Sims, and Messiah Swinson. I think any of them can take it. I think any of them can get it. And I think it's totally up for grabs. So I think it's possible, but they're just going to have to go out. I think it's each of them have a, you know, basically a 1/3 chance right now. Probably I'd put it Fitzpatrick, Sims, and Swinson in that order, but each of them can win that. And I think it is up for grabs. So go grab it, go take it. And the player that plays best out of those three should have a 53-man roster spot as a number three tight end, but they're just going to have to beat out the other two and to a lesser extent, Johnny Lumpkin as well. All right, on the offensive line, this is where it gets interesting. Zach Tom clearly can make it and will make it as a starting best offensive lineman on the team. Rashid Walker will make it as a potential starting left tackle. Jordan Morgan's going to make it, former first-round pick. Anthony Belton will make it, second-round pick. Aaron Banks, Sean Ryan, both making it clearly. Elton Jenkins, barring any sort of crazy contract stuff, he's going to make it. Jacob Monk, I think, is very much in the conversation as that potential next guy. He's not a lock to make it, but he'll have a real avenue to make the team. And then you get to, and I guess you could put Monk in this group as well. To me, it's Travis Glover, Jacob Monk, Donovan Jennings, Kadeem Telfort, and then maybe like a Tyler Cooper and John Williams as well, their seventh round pick. You've got six guys. You probably have 2 to 3 spots for those six guys. And I think that's where there's going to be this really big battle for who can potentially make it. I think they have enough good players to keep 10 in this situation, meaning 10 overall offensive linemen. Even if that's the case, of those six, you can only keep 3. Again, Kadeem Telfort, Travis Glover, Jacob Monk, Donovan Jennings, John Williams, and maybe somebody again like Tyler Cooper. And that's not even including a J.J. Lippe, a Trey Hill, a Brant Banks, anyone like that. So 6 guys, 2 to 3 spots. And that, like I said, is going to be a real significant battle along the offensive line. And then I think J.J. Lippe and Brant Banks probably just fighting for practice squad spots at this point. They have a serious uphill climb to try to make a 53-man roster. Not massively different than Tyler Cooper. I just thought Tyler Cooper was the best of those three, and Green Bay clearly felt that way as well based on the signing bonus money that they gave to Cooper, or the guaranteed money that they gave to Cooper. But I think it's those six players fighting for 2 or 3 spots, and then Lippe and Banks and Trey Hill behind the 8-ball a whole heck of a lot more. We'll be right back. Hey friends, I'm so excited to tell you about this new game-changing product that I've been using before a big night out. It's called Pre-Alcohol. Now, ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Prebiotic Drink is the world's first genetically engineered prebiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of that byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down, so just remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night, to drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Now listen, I get it. I was a bit skeptical about pre-alcohol initially myself, but I've now used it for a bachelor party, the college basketball tournament, and recently for a friend's epic 40th birthday party, and I'm telling you, it's the real deal.
deal. And guess what? Summer is here, which means more opportunities to celebrate the warm weather. And before that backyard barbecue brew, the glass of Pinot watching the sunset at the beach, or a cocktail by the campfire, do not forget your ZBiotics pre-alcohol. Drink one before drinking and wake up feeling great and ready to take on the next day and all that summer has to offer. So go to ZBiotics.com/packaday to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use code PACKADAY. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/packaday and use code PACKADAY at checkout for 15% off. Make sure to support our sponsors and use that code PACKADAY.
Defensive end, Rashawn Gary will make it. LVN will make it. I've talked about Kingsley Enagbare and the potential to release him, move on from him, etc. But he'll have a real shot of making the 53. Brenton Cox has a real shot. Baron Sorrell, Colin Oliver, all of them will have that opportunity. Aaron Mosby, Deslin Alexander, those two are the ones that are going to have a much tougher time. I don't know how Alexander makes that jump outside of, again, just being phenomenal out of nowhere. Gary, LVN, Enagbare, Brenton Cox, Baron Sorrell, Colin Oliver. You've got six guys right there fighting for probably five spots, but maybe six. And then even after that, Mosby is a player who made the 53 this past year, gives you some versatility as a guy who can play edge rusher, but also some off-ball linebacker. And, you know, also can play some special teams as well. I just think that's a really tough spot for Deslin Alexander to be in. I think he's probably practice squad or bust. And then you've got, I think Mosby's going to find it really a tough chance to make the 53. There's just those six guys, Gary, LVN, Enagbare, Cox, Sorrell, and Oliver, I think are going to just fight for those 53 spots. Again, could Mosby get in the conversation like he did last year? Maybe, but you probably need some injury luck to go your way. As far as the other ones, again, I would put Gary, LVN as locks. Baron Sorrell is not going anywhere. So Oliver, Cox, and Enagbare, those three potentially fighting for two spots. I don't really see them cutting a fifth-round pick, and this is why we've talked about in the past. I think this probably comes down to Enagbare versus Brenton Cox for that last spot. And when it comes to that conversation, Cox is younger. Cox has more years of team control. I thought just Brenton Cox was better this past year. And, you look at the salary, Cox is $2 million less than what Enagbare is. And I think Enagbare may have a little bit of trade value as well to potentially get maybe like a conditional seventh round pick in return. So there's a lot of things going for Brenton Cox in that situation. But clearly Enagbare will still have the opportunity to make the team. And any of those top six making the 53 is either expected or is a real great opportunity. Then after that, it gets much trickier. Defensive tackle. Clark Wyatt, both get locks to make the team. Carl Brooks and Colby Wooden. At this point, I mean, based on the depth of defensive tackle, it's really difficult to figure out a way where they're not on the 53. Warren Brinson, I think, is going to have a phenomenal chance to make the 53. Nasir Stackhouse, he just has to go and show that he can be a legitimately really good run defender and probably the backup nose tackle to Kenny Clark. Again, Wyatt's on the smaller side. Brooks is on the smaller side. I know Wooden put on weight, but he's still been a three technique his entire career. Warren Brinson, a little bit bigger, but still probably profiles a little bit more as kind of he can do both, but I think he's a little bit more of a three technique even than a nose tackle. Although, again, I think you can move him over. Stackhouse has that bulk and that strength. Even the next guys on the list that we're going to talk about, Stackhouse has that size advantage on them. So he just needs to go out and show that he can be a TJ Slayton type player. I think he's more in like that Jonathan Ford type category than a TJ Slayton, but he shows that he can go out and be a legitimately good run defender. That's his avenue to making the team. And I think he'll have a great opportunity to make it if he can actually show that. The next four, James Esther, Nesta Jade Silvera, Cameron Young, and Keith Randolph. Outside of the fact that you've got only six guys, Clark, Wyatt, Brooks, Wooden, Brinson, and Stackhouse, and you probably keep five, and Stackhouse is nowhere near lock or anything like that to make the team. Outside of the depth just being a little bit thin at defensive tackle, it's a lot tougher to find an avenue for those four to make the team. So you know, probably some injuries and some good performances in preseason. I think that's the way. But even then, kind of as we talked about in some of these other positions, even if you said there was an opportunity for one of those four to make the team, it's a complete grab bag between which one of those four would potentially make the team. So you probably need some injury luck to go your way with the defensive tackles ahead of you. Stackhouse not to be it. Maybe Brinson struggles. And then you still have to beat out the other three guys between, again, James Esther, Nessa Jade Silvera, Cameron Young, and Keith Randolph. So we'll see how that would go. But I think those bottom four are going to find it very tough to try to make the 53. Linebacker's more interesting. Quay Walker's going to make it. Edrin Cooper's going to make it. McDuffie's going to make it. Simmons and Hopper both should make it. So you've got five guys right there that should be pretty, I don't want to say locked in entirely, but have a great chance to make the team. We have heard from Goody in the past that they would like to keep six linebackers. As we talked about with Justice yesterday, you know, can you make that six linebacker in the aggregate out of Colin Oliver and maybe Ketanji Ladapo, right? You could probably put Colin Oliver back as a strong side linebacker in some base personnel packages. You can probably put Ketanji Ladapo as like a nickel linebacker in some, you know, nickel and I don't, probably not dime, but probably some passing situations, right? I'll put it that way. I don't know that you need another one here, but if you just kept, if you did decide to keep six linebackers, then you have an interesting battle between Christian Welch and Jamon Johnson. Christian Welch being a little bit older, being more of a special teams guy, not much upside, not much he's going to give you as a true linebacker, but has been in the system in the past, played in Green Bay in, you know, preseason and training camp a year ago and showed pretty well. Again, not to mention having some real special teams ability also. That's his avenue to make the team. And certainly just for Welch, if he can go out and show that he's one of the best special teams players on the team, he'll have a real shot that way as well. For Jamon Johnson, again, they probably need to keep six linebackers or to have a little bit of injury luck. And then just to beat out Christian Welch. Special teams would be a huge opportunity for him and a way to do that. But he does have some upside as a linebacker as well. So if it comes down to a tiebreaker between Welch and Johnson, Johnson's younger, he's cheaper, he has more upside. There's a reason that you would keep him over Christian Welch in that situation. So if they do decide to keep six true linebackers, both of them will have a chance. Other than that, they probably need a little bit of injury luck to go their way. At corner, Nixon, Hobbs, and Valentine, they're going to all make it. And then after that, hey, go and grab a spot. Find your way onto the team. I don't care if you're Kamal Haddon, Micah Robinson, Kalen King, Gregory Jr., Tyron Herring, Isaiah Dunn. All of those players should be looking at that cornerback depth chart and saying, I have a shot at this thing. If I go out, ball out in training camp, preseason, show out on special teams, I've got a real chance to make the team. And that goes for all of those guys. So this is not one where it's just like a really difficult position to make. The depth is thin. Nobody's proven. And you've got three guys again at the top in Valentine, Hobbs, and Nixon who are all locks to make the team. And after that, go get that number four spot. Get that number five spot. Get that number six spot. Javon Bullard will play a factor in that as well. But there are real opportunities there at corner. And I think any of those guys, man, if I were in their shoes, I'd be saying, I got a real chance to go make this team. So go do it. I think it's a really fun one. It's a WWE style ladder match. You know, there's three brass rings up there ready to go grab. And I want to see who comes down with it and really makes an effort to make it as a number, like the number four corner spot, number four. And yeah, I get Javon Bullard could play a role here too, but a true number four corner is a play away from being potentially significantly involved in the, you know, down to down game situations on defense. Like there's so much opportunity there for somebody like Kamal Haddon, Micah Robinson, Kalen King to say, this spot is mine. Again, even Gregory Jr., Tyron Herring, Isaiah Dunn should feel like they have that opportunity as well. So the opportunity is there. Go grab it. Let's see who ultimately comes down with it. Let's see. Safety. McKinney's going to make it. Williams is going to make it. Bullard's going to make it. I think Oladapo is going to make it. Zane Anderson's maybe a little bit more up for grabs, but he'll have a real opportunity. Special teams, clearly his main way onto the roster. But when he got the opportunity this past year, he looked good at safety as well. then it gets really tough because you've got five guys already that you probably want to keep on the 53. Omar Brown is good. He's like, I think he's an interesting, fun football player. To me, the way that Omar Brown would have to make it is to show that he's better than Zane Anderson. And he's going to have to show that primarily on special teams. And then if things are equal, right? If you get down to, hey, we can only keep either Zane Anderson or Omar Brown, and Omar Brown makes it close from a play standpoint. Brown is younger, he's cheaper, and there are some advantage, and he has more years of team control. There's some real reasons to keep Omar Brown over Zane Anderson. That said, Zane Anderson just has been the better player. He's started and looked good. He's been great on special teams. Like, Zane Anderson's just probably the guy that you want there. But I do think there's an avenue for Omar Brown. Jonathan Baldwin and Kaiser Brown, it gets a lot tougher. You know, the first thing you need to do is beat out the other one. The second thing you need to do is beat out Omar Brown and then probably show enough upside that they'd be willing to release Zane Anderson in that situation. And that's a tough path to get to. And even then, you're the fifth safety, right? Behind McKinney, Williams, Bullard, Oladapo. And there's not, you know, probably any playing time opportunity other than on special teams. So Baldwin and Brown have it much, much tougher. Kazir Brown, Omar Brown, a very slight chance, but he would have to beat out Zane Anderson to get to that spot. McManus, Whalen, and Orzik all should make it at this point. Alex Hale, I guess, hope for an injury to Brandon McManus and go out and absolutely crush it in preseason and in training camp. That's probably your only chance. I don't see any other way. Clearly, he's not. I guess if McManus was just brutal, like he couldn't make anything, but that's a big cap hit to swallow. And even then, Hale probably would need to be pretty epic to just trust him with the spot. So he might be the one with the toughest uphill climb of maybe anyone on this team. So that's where I'm at right now. Again, it's a really interesting kind of breakdown. The ones that I think are going to have a really tough time, Sean Clifford, Amar Johnson, and Jalen White, Julian Hicks, Cornelius Johnson, Sam Brown, Johnny Lumpkin, Brant Banks, J.J. Lippe, Trey Hill, Deslin Alexander, probably Aaron Mosby as well, James Esther, Nesta Jade Silvera, Cameron Young, Keith Randolph at defensive tackle, Jonathan Baldwin and Kazir Brown at safety, Alex Hale at kicker. I think those are the ones that have a really, really hard time making the 53. I think everyone else at least has some avenue. And of course, injuries and or just a unbelievable performer can always change that up in some real way. But I think those are the ones that are going to, like I said, have a very, very tough time to make the team. That's going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. Always appreciate it. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Huang, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Dylan Patscott, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkle-Stinkle, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Matt Geiger, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, and Griff Hen Bly. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, Go Pack, go.